Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
If you will turn with me to the book of Hebrews, we are kicking off a new series today called Reality. I believe there is a reality beyond the reality that you can see that we have the potential to step into. And over the next 7 weeks, we are going to lean into the place of faith. Hebrews 11 walks through what we sometimes call the hall of faith. The writer of Hebrews walks us through people of faith from the Old Testament and builds us up through the faith that they walked in. We're going to look at several of them in the coming weeks. And we're also in our life groups going to look at this multifaceted thing we call faith. And I believe that someone's faith is going to be stirred. I believe that you're going to be strengthened. I believe God has big things that he's going to move you into, and that hope is going to be restored in your hearts before we leave today. So will you turn with me on kickoff Sunday to Hebrews 11, starting in verse 1. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 1, says, "Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, and the proof of what is not seen. For by faith our ancestors were approved, and by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible." Somebody say reality. Reality can have a lot of meanings to it. It seems like it only has one meaning. But Phil brought up here earlier a virtual reality headset that allows you to experience a form of reality that is different than the reality you are sitting in right now. When you go out and you have the compassion experience and you put on that headset, you will be sitting in one place, but the reality that you experience will be your being in another place altogether. What is it that makes up our reality? One of our kids came home this week. School has gotten back started, which means I'm doing homework once again alongside of my children. And they had a sheet, and on their sheet, they're in science class and they're learning about their five senses, the five senses that make up our reality. What are these five senses? Who can tell me? Who remembers their fourth grade homework? Your five senses are smell, sight, taste, touch, hearing. Did we get them all? Yes. Those five senses make up the things that we live in. And those five senses make up the things that we can actually experience. And when we can actually experience something, when I can touch it, when I can taste it, when I can hear it, when I can smell it, when I can see it with my own eyes, this is my reality. And we define these things as what is actual and what is real. But the writer of Hebrews said, faith is the reality. That there is another reality that you have access to as a person of faith. There is a reality that is not separate to, but that is adjacent to and beyond and in existence at the same time as the reality that you can touch and taste. There is a reality of faith. Says this reality is the reality of things hoped for. Of things hoped for. Hope goes beyond where I am right now. Hope is my positive expectation about my tomorrow. Hope looks forward to where it is that I'm going. Hope looks at what's coming down the line and believes that there is something yet coming that is better than what I live in today. Hope is at a premium. Hope is under attack. Hope is missing and failing and waiting and waning in all too many corners. Because can I tell you something? Fear sells. And because fear sells, you and I are being sold fear on a daily basis. And so therefore, hope is under attack. Everywhere that I go and everywhere that I look, I'm told why my tomorrow is not going to be better than my yesterday. Everywhere that I go and everywhere that I look, they're telling me how things are getting worse and worse than they've ever been. Everywhere I go and everywhere that I look, they're telling me how things are falling apart, and I've never seen conflict like this, and I've never seen chaos like this, and I've never seen a country divided in such a way, and I've never seen people pulling at the seams like this, and I've never seen the economy flipping and flopping like this before, and I've never seen wars and rumors of wars happening like this before. And they're selling us fear, and they're selling us fear because fear causes me to buy into something in this reality that I may not have bought into in this reality if it was my ability to hold on to my hope that tells me that the reality that I see is not the only reality that I have. There's a reality beyond what I'm seeing, and there's a reality beyond what I'm hearing, and that is my reality of faith. But my hope is failing. My hope is fleeting. My hope begins to waver because I'm taking in the fear, because I'm looking back at what was and what has been, and I've lost my positive expectation for my future. I have to direct my life towards hope because faith is the reality of things hoped for. Psalms 42:5 says, "Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil?" Have you felt like your soul felt dejected? I feel like it's just downcast and seated back. It's been bruised and it's been battered and it's just lying down. My soul feels like it's in turmoil, like there's a storm on the inside, that unsettled on the inside of me, that turmoil that keeps spinning and churning and moving. Okay, y'all feel settled all the time. I've had some days where I feel like the inside of me feels like it's shaking. I was going through something a while ago, and I told Phil, "I want you to know that I haven't done it yet, but I keep having a deep urge to grab those dishes and just smash them on this counter." Not at you, because there's a turmoil in my soul. And the turmoil in my soul was turning and was shaking to such a degree that I needed some of the turmoil in my soul to get out of the inside. And I wanted to express the turmoil from the inside on the outside. Have you ever felt like the turmoil in me got out of me to the people around me, to the circumstance around me? Why are you so dejected, oh my soul? Why is there such turmoil within me? Then the psalmist says, "I will yet hope in the Lord. I will praise him, my Savior and my God." My soul might feel dejected and my soul might feel in turmoil, but there is a hope that I can direct on the inside of my soul. I will yet hope in him. I will yet praise in his name. I have to take control of the steering wheel of my soul, of the steering wheel of my thought life, and say it might feel like chaos around me. They might tell me things have gotten worse than they've seen it before. It might seem like I'm not sure what's going on. Everything around me, every relationship I know, the things I thought I could count on, they all might be moving. Yet I will have hope. Yet I have determined that I will look forward to a positive expectation for the outcome of my tomorrow. I will direct my soul towards hope. I direct my soul towards hope with gratitude. God, I thank you for what you've done in my life. God, I thank you for who you are to me. I thank you for breath in my body. I thank you for a church to come to this morning. I thank you that I've got another day to walk with you, and I will direct my soul through praise. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is mighty and high and seated on the throne. There is a God who is in heaven. I will glorify his name. Majesty and glory and honor are his. I will direct it through gratitude. I will direct it through praise, and I will direct it through expectation, that I expect God to do something in my life, that I expect that my tomorrow is still working out, that I expect that all things are working together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, that I expect that he is the Alpha and the Omega, and so he's already sorted it out. I expect that there is a positive outcome. I have expectation. I direct my soul towards hope, because I have gratitude, because I have praise, and because I have expectation for what God will do in my life. You can't lose hold of your hope. You can't lose hold of hope. Hope and faith work in tandem. I was texting Jenna Alcorn earlier this week. Some of you would know who she is. She calls herself the ambassador of hope. I was working on this message, and I thought, I should text Jana. She knows something about hope. I texted her, and I said, Jana, tell me a little bit about how faith and hope work together. Because the scripture says that faith is the reality of things hoped for. She said, this is my favorite picture. She said, faith and hope aren't the same thing, but they work together. And I like to think of it like this, that hope is the runway that the plane of my faith takes off of. Which means the greater the size of the faith that I'm carrying, the greater the capacity of the faith that I have, the more hope that I need to get this thing taken off. If I have faith for something big, I need big hope. I need a big expectation that God is working my tomorrow out for his good. I need a big runway for my hope if I have faith that's going to go and take me big places. When I was in Belize, I flew to Belize on a regular-sized plane. Belize is a very small country down in Central America. And got into Belize, and then they said, oh, we're taking a small flight from the upper part of the country down to the lower part of the country. And we got in a plane that was so small. I have ridden in vans that were bigger than this plane. They put wings on a van and spun that propeller and said, good luck to you. And I was like, I have faith. But when I was sitting there, this is not a lie, it was so small that they had me sitting up like in the cockpit next to the pilot. The pilot was there and I was here. And they had the nerve to say to me, now don't touch anything while you're up here. I was like, are you kidding me? I am afraid. Now, how had Philip Ryburn been in that seat, that would have been a necessary instruction. He would have been like, what's this doing? Okay. Anyway, this is how small the plane was. So I'm sitting in the front, and they start moving the propellers, and everything starts going, and I'm looking out in front of us, and I'm like, I've been on a few planes in my life. This runway is not very long. And Belize is coastal. So at the end of the runway is water. And I'm like, where's the rest of the runway? What are we about to do right now? But what I learned was the plane wasn't very big. And because the plane wasn't very big, the runway didn't need to be very big. It was enough runway, just enough runway, for the plane that we were in to take off of. This is what I want you to know today, that if hope is the runway that your faith takes off of, it might take a big runway for big faith, but if all you have left is just a little bit of hope, and all you have left is just a little bit of faith, God can take that little bit of hope and that little bit of faith, and He can carry you somewhere in the new reality, in the reality that exists alongside this reality. If you say my hope has been battered, and my hope, when I was 19 I had big hope, and when I was 19 I had big faith, but I walked through some things and some relationships left me, and some things didn't work out the way I thought they would, and I cried on my floor a couple of times, and I thought that I had a hope that I used to just stand up and say, but all I have now left is this tiny little hope, and all I have left now is this tiny little faith. The good news for you is if all you've got is a little bit of hope and a little bit of faith, take off on that runway anyway and see where God takes you. With just a little bit of faith, He's got somewhere for you to go in your future, because He's working all things together for your good. That faith is about to take you somewhere you never knew you could get be. And guess what? When you get where this small hope and this small faith is taking you, you're gonna land somewhere with a little bit more hope and a little bit more faith that can take you just a little bit farther than the last hope and the last faith took you, because it's layer on layer on layer on layer. There is a new reality that you're getting ready to step on the inside of. It's not a reality you can taste. It's not a reality you can touch. It's not a reality you can see, because we don't walk by faith. We walk by sight. Wait, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. He's that good. You have to hold on to your hope. Said it's the hope that I have. And then he goes on, this writer, and after he talks about the hope that he had, he says it was by this faith that our ancestors were approved. He's reminding these new believers, these new Christians, that you didn't step into something new, even though it feels new to you. You didn't step into something that just got started, even though it feels like it just got started in your life. The writer walks them through name on name on name, 11 names of men and women of faith in the first section of Hebrews 11, reminding them that this thing that you stepped into is not new. If you're getting baptized today, can I remind you that it's new for you, but this thing you're stepping into today is not new. We like to say it didn't start with us and it won't end with us either. That God's been doing something for generation on generation. And after the writer names and tells the stories of these 11 men and women, some of whom we're going to look at over the next few weeks, they get to Hebrews 11 and 32. And by the time they get to Hebrews 11 and 32, if you read the chapter this week, you can feel the momentum. And they say in 11:32, and what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth and David and Samuel and the prophets who by faith kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, and shut the mouths of lions. This thing did not just get started. I want you to know that if the early Christians needed to know that they had stepped into a life of belief that wasn't new to them, but that they could find an assurance in the fact that there are those who have gone before, that there are those who have walked before, how much more for us who stand in a moment where I want you to know you can have assurance of your faith, because this is not a thing that just started a couple of days ago, and this is not a thing that just got started a couple of weeks ago. For century on century, believers have stood by faith. From Peter, who stood up at Pentecost to proclaim that he is the risen king. From Athanasius, who defended the Trinity. To Hildegard, who stood up and wrote theology when they told her that she couldn't. To Martin Luther and John Calvin, who reformed our faith in a way we still debate about it today. To Sojourner Truth, who was free, who fought for her freedom and became an evangelist and a freedom fighter. To Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who stood up against the Nazis in the name of Jesus. This faith didn't just get started. It is an unshakable faith that you can stand in the assurance of, that it didn't start today and it's not gonna end today. And what more can I say than what about God has done for us in this house, a house that's been built on faith, that was founded in 1986 by our founding pastors who put up some chairs in a hotel conference room and by faith prayed people into that room, to those who led kids classes before we had rooms, and those who prayed prayers and sang songs before we had equipment, those who are all across this room who built this balcony and prayed over this platform and laid this carpet that we stand on, this thing that you stand in today, this is a house built on faith. This is a house that moves in faith, because we have a positive expectation for what God has in store for our future. There is more than one reality to stand in at the same time. It's not a dismissal of what is in front of me that I can see. It's not a dismissal of what I hear. It's an acknowledgement that there is a second option, that there is a reality of faith. The writer says that it's by faith that we understand that God created the universe, and that the thing that is seen came from that which was not seen. So what is greater, the thing that came or the place that it came from? What is greater, what it came out or where the thing came from? See, this is the thing. We put so much weight on the thing that came, on the world that was created. We put so much emphasis on what I can touch and what I can smell and what I can feel. We put so much weight on it that sometimes we make the thing that was created, the thing that came from, the greater thing. But I propose to you that the greater thing is not the thing that came, but the place that it came from. And it says that it came from the unseen thing, the unseen reality of faith, the unseen space where God lives outside of time, the unseen space where God still rules and reigns, the unseen thing where he speaks a word and it brings it into the created realm. My faith is not in what I see and what I touch, because what I see and what I touch is not the greater thing. My faith is in the unseen realm, in the unseen reality that is the place of faith, because faith is the reality of things yet hoped for. My faith is in what God can do. My faith is in what I see him moving. There are unnatural breaks sometimes in the way that we read scripture. You know, the chapters and verses were not there originally. They were written as messages and preaching, and they were written as prophecies, and they were written as letters. And we added the chapters and the verses later on for ease of use. And so when you read Hebrews 11:1, you have to know that Hebrews 10:39 is connected to Hebrews 11:1, that the author did not make a break there and then sit down a few days later and write Hebrews 11 like we do when we read our devotional. It was a continuous thought. And Hebrews 10:39 says, but we are not of those who draw back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and are saved. There is a drawing back that is in opposition to your faith. There is a looking towards yesterday that is in opposition to your faith. There is a looking to say, if only I would have done differently in my yesterday, that pulls you out of the place of faith. There is a longing to go back to something that was, that pulls you out of the place of faith. There is a disappointment in things not working the way that I wish they would have worked that pulls me out of my faith. Sometimes there's a looking back at how great my yesterday was, how much I loved the part that I played in yesterday, and how much I loved the way things were in yesterday, and it pulls me out of my faith, because faith isn't about yesterday. Faith is about where I am now. The writer of Hebrews said that we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are of those who have faith and are saved now. Faith. Not yesterday faith, but now faith. I need you to pull out of the disappointment. I need you to pull out of the looking back at what could have been. I need you to pull out of how awesome you were back then. And I need a now faith. I need a today faith. I need a faith that says my reality says that there is something God is working in my right here, in my right now. And I refuse to be drawn back. And I refuse to be shrunk back. I refuse to be pulled back. I must press forward and be saved. Faith is access into a new reality. Can I tell you that there is more that God has promised for your tomorrow, that He is working a faith out. And I know that there have been moments where you felt left down, and I know that there have been moments where things didn't go the way you wanted them to go, and I know there's reason to lean into pessimism, and I know there's reason to lean back into yesterday. But I'm telling you, if there's still air in your lungs, if there's still blood in your body, then God has a reality for you that is above, that is more than, that is greater than the reality that you can see. He has faith. He has faith to move in your life. I believe some people are picking hope back up today, picking hope up for your tomorrow. People who feel like, I've lost my hope, today's your day to get your hope back. Today's your day to begin to look forward towards a tomorrow with optimism, to look forward towards a tomorrow and believe that God has good in store for your tomorrow. If you know that you need a fresh wind of hope in your life, that your faith needs something to ride on, can you just lift your hands where you are? Raise them right now, because I believe God is stirring hope in this place. moving hope all across this room. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in this place. I thank you that you are our God of all hope. Holy, holy, holy is your name. Yes, you are. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God, I thank you for those that have raised their hands right now. I speak your living hope into them. God, we make an active decision to lay down despair. We make an active decision to let go of looking towards yesterday. And we want to hold on to the hope that you have for our tomorrow. We want to hold on to a new hope, God. I speak over them a positive expectation for your tomorrow. That faith is rising. Faith is rising. Faith is rising, Father God. I speak that over these next 7 weeks that you would build a sturdy faith in them that believes in you, Jesus, that sees into the tomorrow. Thank you, God. We bless your name. We bless your name, Jesus. I'm closing, so everyone who's able, if you would stand with me. In 10:39, it says that we're not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and are saved. I'm getting ready to pray a prayer for anyone who wants to come into a relationship with Jesus, that you would be saved, that you would receive salvation from destruction, that you would receive salvation from the weight of your own sin, that you would receive salvation that brings you into a relationship with God once again. And it comes through faith in Jesus. There's this curve, it's called Rogers Innovation Adaptation Curve. And it's how quickly different groups of people jump into adopting new forms of innovation as they roll out. And at the front end, it's the innovators, those who are excited, and there's different stages along the way. And at the very end of the curve is the skeptics, those who are waiting to see, is this gonna really work out? Those who want some others to go before them and trial it and test it and go through all the beta versions. And once it seems like everything is worked out, maybe they might come on to it. They're skeptical about these things. I have good news for those who are skeptical about Jesus. This thing has been tested. This thing has been tried out. There's some people around you who can give voice to the fact that this thing has been gone through many versions and it still stands and it still lasts and it still works, that it's worth the investment to just go ahead and get on board. If that's you and you're saying, today is my day to get on board with Jesus. Today is my day to say yes to a life with Jesus. I'm gonna count to three and then I want you to shoot your hand straight in the air with all the strength, the power, and the confidence that knows that you are making the best decision you will ever make in your life. 3, 2, 1, hands going up all across the room. I see you guys. I see you way in the balcony. I see you down front. Come on, let's cheer for these hands that are going up all across the room. I see you, sir. People who are saying that I believe in Jesus and today is my day to follow him. With hands still raised, I'm going to ask everyone in this room to repeat these words after me. We say, God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I know that I need you. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in your life. I believe in your death. I believe in your burial, and I believe in your resurrection. And starting today, I let go of a life led by me, and I take hold of a life led by you. Holy Spirit, Help me do it for all my days. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, we're rejoicing with you and making the best decision you could ever possibly make. Welcome home to Jesus.